You are the one that is lifted up, and all eyes look upon you for salvation. Grant that through the words we speak, through the songs we sing, that men's heart will not encounter us, but will encounter you. Once again, we acknowledge you in the midst of our brethren. Be magnified forever in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Welcome again to day 4 of this conference. And I want to invite you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4. Beginning from verse 31. And came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. Verse 36 is my emphasis. And they were all amazed among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." What a word is this? I was expecting that when they said, "What a word is this?" the next thing that the Bible would have spoken about would have been a recap, a summary of what Jesus taught. What a word is this? And then the commentary continued and revealed that the amazement of the people was the fact that there was a manifestation of power and authority. So the two kingdom tools that God readily makes available for any functionary of his to prosecute kingdom business is, one, the tool of power, and what? You sound dry. The tool of power and authority. So anytime God wants to put his kingdom on display, he makes his power available. He makes his authority available. Now I want to take you through a quick lecture. And let's see if my scripture for the night can surface. But if it cannot surface after the lecture, we'll just go into the practical aspect of the presentation. So I want you to draw a table, right, in your diary, and label this side power, label the other side authority, so that we can take a moment and really analyze what power is and what authority is. These are the utensils for prosecuting the will of God upon the face of the earth. So, under that power include 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. So this scripture that I'm reading now is a scripture that will give us insight into what power is. And then we'll continue attempting to differentiate the two kingdom tools that God makes available. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 20, what does it say? It says, but the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What this scripture is trying to make us understand is that when you just come and you begin to speak, your speaking is weak in revealing the authenticity, the supremacy, the capacity of the kingdom of God. Your speaking is weak. The kingdom, no matter how gifted a speaker you are, no matter how deep your presentation can be, the Bible says that using words as a means to unveil the kingdom is a weak approach, because the kingdom of God is not in word, it is what? In. So it means that if I come to this pulpit this evening and there is a demonstration of the power of God, it will be more illustrative of the kingdom than 3 hours of talk. Are you with me? People can be in a service where there is 3 hours of talk and go back to their counties and forget the talk. But people can come into a meeting for 15 minutes and there are demonstrations of power. It leaves an impact on the lives of those people, such impact that we cannot fully evaluate. Because the kingdom of God is what? Not in word. So one of the possibilities of the unveiling of the kingdom of God is rooted in the demonstrations of God. So when God begins to equip a kingdom functionary to represent him, one of the things he makes available to him is what? Oh. Because you are not responding, I'm going to cut the lecture. Let me look for what to. So you will labor before this other aspect will be unveiled. Power. All right. I want to show you a deliberate decision that the differentiation between power, authority has not started. I'm just trying to bring us from the market. You know, some of you were in the market. I'm trying to bring you back here. That's my attempt. When I sense that you have come back, then we'll begin the classification proper. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, still talking about power. Are you there with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? All right. So, my technical man, I will need you tonight. I want to drive some points home. Meanwhile, you must have, for those of you that know me, you know that part of the service delivery into which the Lord has called me is to educate the body of Christ. So I am not by any means playing down on the teaching ministry, on the need for education and upgrade. Part of what the teaching ministry does is that it upgrades you. You see, in heaven, the civilization of things in heaven are upgraded time after time so that we will have access to function with the most current technology of heaven. Even Samsung manufactures new editions of Galaxy phone with new features, right? So Samsung is expecting you to upgrade so that you have access to new features, new possibilities, new ease in taking advantage of what the phone can offer. But unfortunately,
In the body of Christ, we do not upgrade. And many of us in this auditorium are the 1982 models of ourselves. We are still operating in a very obsolete orientation of our possibility. So what happens in the teaching ministry is that God uses it to upgrade you so that you can have access to the most current technology that has been crystallized in heaven. So I'm not by any means trying to diminish the need for education in the body of Christ. If there is any continent where a good delivery of the word of God is needed because of our roots, because of the presence of demonic manifestation in our corridors, so that we'll know who we are in the context of the new creation and how God expects us to function, how to walk in faith and walk by faith, how to pray in the spirit and pray with your spirit. They are two different things. Because Paul says, I will pray in the spirit. Paul also said, I will pray with my spirit. That's two different. Those education that is geared towards bringing us into the fullness of the grace of God is critical in our growth, in our civilization as a people under God. So I'm not trying to make light of the need of the good word of God. But I'm saying that the scriptures reveal that the kingdom of God is not in war. You became an engineer by attending the University of Ghana. And you were there for 5 years. You studied, took courses, took electives. And after 5 years, you were tested in diverse exams in diverse areas. And the faculty and the department that you finished from felt you were credible enough in view of your coursework, your research work, and you are conferred a degree. Are you with me? Now, maybe that is sufficient for you to get a degree in engineering. But if what we are talking about is kingdom, words are weak to reveal it. You will need more than words. So the amazement of the guys in the book of Luke chapter 4 verse 36 was, what a word is this? Are you with me? And there were, you will expect that they will give a summary of what Jesus taught that day as a proof of their amazement. But what they were amazed about was that there were utensils available in Jesus' ministry that had the capacity to illustrate the kingdom so vividly when they saw that with the authority that Jesus meted out, unclean spirits came out and unclean spirits obeyed him. That illustration was enough insight, much more insight than lectures could produce. And if there is anything that Satan will want to hide from you, is what happens when he comes in head-on collision with the power of God and how his inferiority is brought to the stage. If there's anything Satan wants to hide, is what happens to him when he collides with power. I know most of you believe that witches are so powerful because in your county, there are roads. If you are walking on those roads 12 midnight, people come and slap you. Invisible hands. And so you have always revered Satan and darkness. Then you come for a conference like this and you see how Satan is humiliated. You say, excuse me, what's happening here? And suddenly your perspective about the power of Satan changes instantly because you saw the authority of God manifested. Should I say something? The gospel that is going to liberate Africa is not a gospel that runs on the strength of phonetics.
Hey.
Because people have issues that were created by devils. They are practical issues. Even doctors have no solution to these issues. Many of them have visited health centers, and the doctors have used their stethoscope to try to find meaning of the disorder. And their anomaly has no medical name. So the doctor becomes limited, even though he studied for 6 years. May the Lord give you understanding. Those are not doctors' issues, those are power issues. And one of the most transforming testimonies is that I once was blind. You cannot produce that result with 3 hours of lecture. And so the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word. It cannot be revealed fully. Words are too weak to reveal it. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning from verse number 1. We're still talking about power. Before we begin, I'm just trying to call you back from the market, from the bus stop, and so that you can come here and get ready for what God has for you tonight. He has a great menu for you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you the truth. When you are exposed to the good word of God, you will like the Bible. And you will like God. Suddenly your love for God will just be multiplied. I pray that God will raise competent functionaries that can bring adequate and accurate service delivery in the ministry of the word of God in the heart of the nation of Kenya, in Jesus' mighty name. I want to show you some deliberate decisions that Apostle Paul made. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." First, deliberate decision. Paul decided that the model of his service delivery in the labor of the kingdom was such a model that will not run on the power of oratory. Even though he had the capacities of an orator and he was not a baby in the world of diction, he decided that his ministry will not be characterized by the enticing words of what? Man's wisdom. So, he said, "I came unto you not with the excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Number two. "For I determined," this is a deliberate decision, "not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." What's the meaning of this? The man Jesus and his work of redemption. That was my preoccupation. Oh my. Well, we don't have time for this. I would have shown you a few scriptures that reveal that in order for you to be a proper Christian, you will need to look to Jesus. We see Jesus. Those scriptures are actually saying that in order for you, Jesus is the prototype, Jesus is the pattern man. When your life begins to align, it will begin to look like that of Jesus. It's just like you buy a Peugeot 506 vehicle, and then the engine got bad and your mechanical engineers were able to put a Honda engine into the body of the Peugeot. Even though it carries a Peugeot body, the performance that is expected is a Honda performance. Right? Now, the Bible reveals that God has invested his spirit in your life as a proof of your regeneration, that your spirit had been made alive. Therefore, we have a new form of consciousness, and it's on the strength of this consciousness that we can begin to relate to God. The expectation is that your performance will now be a function of this new introduction that has been brought into your ecosystem. So the expectation that God has is that you will begin to function in the newness of life. And that is supposed to be on the operating system of the Holy Ghost that has been introduced into your heart. God begins to expect outcomes from your life that is consistent with the investment that he has made available. Are you still with me? Now, so if you understand that, you will realize that the prototype of the expectation is the way Jesus lived. Because the same reality, the same resources that made Jesus to live the quality of life that he lived is now available to you. That is what we call the doctrine or the gospel of the grace of God. If you have access to the grace of God or in the gospel of the grace of God, it is God that does the things he is asking you to do. The only thing is that he will do those things in you. And then it will be your own responsibility to align with what he's doing, and then you'll be able to work it out. But it is not you that is responsible for those doings. Okay, for instance, God is calling you to pray in the night and you are tired from work and all of that. You just feel like falling on your bed. And then you just decide, okay, I don't know why you're calling me, but... And you just align your heart to respond. Then you pour grace into your vessel. And then the ability to do the things he's asking you to do, it begins to become natural to you. The reason is because grace is available. Grace happens to be the currency upon which God prosecutes every project that he is involved in. When God builds, he builds by grace. And so if grace is available to you, the expectation is that your life will begin to conform, and the results that will come from your life will begin to conform with that which was obtainable in the life of Jesus Christ. So in the ministry of Paul, Paul showed them Jesus as the standard. That if your prayer life is not like that of Jesus yet, you are still in the making. You have not yet maximized the grace of God that is upon you. If your life of holiness is not like that of Jesus yet, you are still in the making. Because the expectation, because of the Honda engine that has been introduced into the vehicle, even though the vehicle looks different on the outside, expectation is going to be as a result of the engine. So you just got a new engine. So we are expecting you to be able to operate in the capacity of that engine, which is the Holy Ghost. You understand? That was why Jesus Christ was part of his emphasis. He raised the standard of the expectation of heaven on the strength of the resources that are made available to us. Secondly, Jesus Christ and him crucified. This is the finished works of Jesus. There are implications that find expression in the divine supernatural realm on the strength of the sacrifice of Jesus. And part of the expectation of God is that your life should reflect the full scope of the bounty made available in the realm of the Spirit on the account of all of Jesus' pains and Jesus' sacrifices. Are you here? Yes, remember. Okay. How many of you know Bitcoin? Bitcoin. Alright. So Bitcoin is not money, but it's currency. And you can convert currency to money. You can actually use currency to buy and sell. Currency. Are you with me? Yes. Alright. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. You see, his sufferings produce currency. Wounded for what? He was bruised for what? The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes. You see, the point is this. your inability to take advantage of the currency is the challenge. If you know how to take advantage of the currency, because he preached Jesus Christ, he also preached him crucified. Jesus Christ crucified is a means of payment that was used to satisfy the claims of divine justice. And every aspect of the sufferings that he went through produces currency that you are supposed to be transacting with. For instance, Jesus was given 39 stripes. The Romans don't cane you 40. 40 minus 1. And if there's an experienced doctor in this place, they are 39 pathways for diseases like fever, yellow fever, malaria fever, typhoid fever, all kinds of fever. Is fever is one category. There are 39 types of possible types of diseases, and each stripe represented one type. That's currency. So those currencies are available for transaction, just in case Satan wants to put sickness upon you. He did something that made healing available. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. So what Paul says, when he came and he met the believers in Corinth, he was not concerned about any other thing apart from Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus, the pattern man, and the example of Jesus, which is supposed to be the expectation of heaven, because we have the same engine. And then the price that Jesus paid, which has become currency in the spirit, that we need to take advantage of and begin to do spiritual transactions. That was the focus of his ministry to the Corinthian believer. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Yes? Where is my man? So, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Next verse. For I was with you in weakness and with fear and in much trembling. So Paul was not ashamed to make his followers know that he was not the champion. So they saw his frailty. They saw his weakness. They saw him cry. You know, these days a preacher tries to pretend that he's a superstar. He comes with a baritone to the pulpit. Say hallelujah. May the Lord give you understanding. You have no power of your own, no might of your own. So he was not ashamed to allow his followers see him in weakness, because the excellency of what was responsible for what was producing results in his life had nothing to do with his own natural capacity. So his disciples saw him when he was afraid. His disciples saw him when he was sick. He was with them in weakness. When malaria fever had dealt with him, and the drugs were not working. This is a man that will come and stand like this, and the dead will come back to life. But I told you, the gifts of God upon your life cannot serve you, because it's about others. So his disciples saw him in weakness. They saw him fear. They saw him tremble. Next verse. And he says, my speech and my preaching, this is deliberate, another deliberate decision, was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The question is, why did Paul make these deliberate decisions? The next verse comes to the rescue. So that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. So that is to say, there is a possibility under some circumstances that your faith will be anchored on the wisdom of man. That's why motivational preaching is not, there is no basis for it in New Testament Christianity. Because that's the wisdom of man. A motivational preacher comes and says, dream. And when you dream, dream big. May the Lord give you understanding. This man was not a dreamer. The reason for which he existed was to prosecute the counsel of God for his life. Anything that God assigns to you to do, he makes grace available for you to do it. The extent God will have you go is the degree to which God's grace that is allocated to you can sponsor. It's not about your dreaming. That's utopian kind of existence. That is life without reference. You are just there in space. Floating. Dream. Meanwhile, Joseph, that was the dreamer, the Bible was careful to reveal that it was God that gave him a dream. You just want to generate your own dream. And then when you generate it, you make sure it's big. Nothing is more falling than that perspective. He said that the reason why my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom is because words are weak in unveiling this kingdom. It is not my intention for your faith to be anchored on the wisdom of man. It is my preaching, my model, my style was full with hyper demonstrations of the power of the Holy Ghost, things that men cannot do in their best. They cannot do that. The reason was because he wanted the faith of the people to be anchored on what? On the power of God. So that's an introduction to power. Let me do an introduction to authority. Then we'll now go with that your chart. And we'll see the difference between power and authority. And then if God gives us the grace, I'll ask him for the permission, if he will allow me to demonstrate in this congregation power and authority. And the purpose of the demonstration is not to show how great a preacher I am. It's just because the kingdom of God is not involved. I hope you got that. You see, many of you don't know that I was born a stammerer. And that the symptoms of stammering are still with me till this very day. The reason why I pray so long before I come to preach is because I don't have the ability to talk. There is a threshold, there is a minimum of prayer I need to bring to the table before God activates the utterance. I speak by spirit-energized communication. So I don't casually mount pulpits. And I know the nature of my infirmity. One of these days, when you meet me outside of the pulpit, you might find out that I cannot communicate because I'm still a stammerer. Well, the Lord will help you to understand. Because you think that I'm a good speaker. When you meet me on ground, you'll find that's not true. That it is the very power of God that is responsible for the articulation and the utterance that comes to give perspective to the mind of God. It says, my style of ministry is such a style that is that consists of the demonstration of the Spirit and the demonstrations of power. There are two categories. Demonstrations of the Spirit. Meanwhile, this is not school of the Spirit, so we can't go into those matters. They are demonstrations of the Spirit. And they are also demonstrations of power. He said, that's the substance of my ministry. Because what I'm trying to unveil here is the kingdom, which cannot be unveiled adequately by word. Is that clear? All right. Number two. Authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 to 25, and the technical man will need to help out. Hallelujah. Don't worry, one of these days when we come, we'll start the lecture in the morning and we'll continue till evening. That's when we can do something solid. This one, we're just doing icing. Just. When we finish that kind of a conference, your life shifts forever. It shifts. Because we need the... Africa has been starved. Africa has been an island where motivational preachers thrived and false prophets came and distracted the entire body of Christ with lying visions. But you see, when you are exposed to the good word of God, you are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. There is a grounding and a rooting that takes place that makes you stable in your walk with God. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And this is self-explanatory, so I don't need to explain this scripture. Next verse. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward there that are Christ at his coming. I don't have time to show you the syllables of the Christian life. This is a summary. That scripture is a summary. But when we really get ready, in this conference, what I'm doing is just testing the waters. That's my objective. To see if Kenyans like the word of God. So when we confirm it, we're still evaluating and analyzing. When we confirm it, then we can go into deeper matters of the kingdom. He said, but if then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom unto God. God, there is the Father. Even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Yes? Go on. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. I need to show you something here. He must reign. The nature of authority is judicial. Power comes from the spirit realm to change a thing in the natural. So when we talk about power, we're actually talking about the ability to cause changes. Because it is expected that something remains in a perpetual stationary mode or in consistent motion except until an external force acts upon it. So circumstances will remain the same. Deaf people will remain deaf. Blind people will remain blind until an external force acts upon it. So power comes out of the spirit realm to cause changes in the natural. So if we want to define power, it is actually the ability to cause changes. But authority is judicial. The way authority works is different from the way power works. Are you with me? In authority, you release it into the realm of the spirit and it occasions a displacement in that realm. And then you now see the manifestation of that displacement in the natural. You didn't get me. Power comes from the spirit realm to bring changes in the natural. You send authority into the spirit realm. It displacement and the impact of the displacement you receive manifests. So, authority is judicial in nature. So, you can go to your table now. What that scripture that we read says is that the ultimate custodian of authority happens to be the Father. It is the Father that has delegated authority to the Son. to manage the estate and the affairs of the kingdom on his behalf. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me. The first thing that I want to reveal to you, which is number one on the in the chart I ask you to draw, is that power is gift based. Luke chapter 10 verse 19. Power is what? Is gift based. Technical man, as I read the scriptures, you will do well to put them on the board so that it will look as if we are together, we are partners. Don't make it look as if we are rivals. Like people in different political parties trying to outsmart each other. Because yesterday we were rivals. It was so terrible. But today, I pray that we'll be partners in this service delivery. In the name of Jesus. Don't mind me, I'm a funny man. You need to know me apart from the pulpit. On the pulpit, I'm like this. And people think that's how I am. Oh, you'll be amazed. When we talk one-on-one, you will laugh and you will be healed. That you, all your problems will. This is Jesus speaking, and Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power." See, they didn't do anything to work for it. It's a gift. I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and I also give you a guarantee that nothing shall by any means hurt you, including that evil spirit in your village that has made you not to go to your village for 5 years. Every time when people are taking holidays, you say, okay, they should give all the work. You will be working during holidays. It's not because you like work that much. It's because you know your county. There is something that lives there. And that thing is not Jesus. He said, "Behold, I give unto you power." So power is gift based. And if you still remember the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus said it again. "Ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Power is what? Gift based.